Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Skincare with Friends.
Hi, this is Nia of Skincare with Friends fame. This week, a little explanation first before we start the podcast. Just let you know what's been going on, because we haven't had our usual output. Sadly, poor young Natalie, she's had a few mishaps. She's fine, but she's had some problems that meant that she's unable to record with me. Her house flooded, poor thing, so her computer was underneath the water. So I have brought in some other skincare friends to speak with while we're waiting for Natalie to receive more equipment to record with. So this week we've got a lovely lady called Renee Serbon. She is one of the top experts in the business of skincare in North America. I thought she was in America, but she's actually in Canada. She is a proponent of a unique system of skincare called corneotherapy, and something that I didn't really know much about, so it was fascinating to hear. She's a managing director of a brand called Dermaviduals, and she's a renowned skincare educator, and as well as being a lovely person. And she was good enough to speak to me, and I hope you enjoy. Come and find us. Renee is going to be answering questions on the Skincare with Friends Facebook group at some point when we've put the podcast out, and I'm sure she'll answer any questions you have about the podcast. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends. I'm Nia Patton, and today I have a guest who's not Natalie, and her name is Renee Serbon, and she's talking to me all the way from America. Welcome, Renee.
Hi, how are Nia. You? How are you?
Hi.
I'm great. Yes, how are things? I've been listening to your podcast and really love cool. this discussion. So I've been very excited about hopping on to you and rattling your cage, perhaps.
Oh, wicked. Oh, that sounds like fun. Brilliant. So you're in California?
No, actually, do you know what? I think the timeline kind of says California, but I'm actually in California time zone, but I'm just north of the border in Canada and British Columbia.
Oh, right. Oh, brilliant. Yes.
I can make you extra jealous. Do you want me to make you extra jealous?
Yes, please.
I live in a wine country, British Columbia, in the Okanagan Valley. Yes. Oh. So... yes, it literally is paradise. So yes, I do.
Oh my god!
Yes. So when we're allowed out of our cages, you have to come and visit.
I really want to do that. Yes, that'd be lovely. Yeah, yes. You know, I haven't been outside my house really, apart from going to the shop and the school and whatnot. So yeah, anything would be nice, to be honest.
Oh, isn't this the case? So, yes, we have a modified lockdown, so it's not as severe as yours. And I know my sister lives in Scotland, actually, so her lockdown with her children is very similar to yours. And I think we're all going just a little bit crazy at the moment, but what a great time to investigate more skin stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, it's something that people can do. And it's amusing and it's pleasant and it's self-care. So yeah, I think it's a great activity for lockdown. Why not, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. There's always time for skin. Skin is always a good choice to pursue.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's always nice. So so tell us a little bit about your background and how you came into skincare.
Okay. So, you know, I actually didn't really think as a child that, you know, that my ambition is skin. No. I always said I would be a teacher or a superstar. And coincidentally, I think
superstar.
I'm managing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think I've like made the cut here. So because some days I feel like a superstar, and I do get to teach in the industry quite a lot. I do a lot of postgraduate education in the industry. So it's really interesting because I'm actually, obviously you can hear I'm not from Canada originally. No. So my training and background is definitely more in the on the UK model of training. So I'm SEDESCO and SIPTAC certified with a New Zealand qualification. Yes. And how it came about is that I went to university to study business. And my entrepreneurial spirit kind of thought, what can I do as an amazing student job, you know, on my own terms? And so I went to study nail technology and then kind of ended up working in clinics and then got, you know, excited by skin and the world of aesthetics or beauty therapy, as you would know it better as. I've had to change my language around that since I moved to Canada.
We all have different terms for this industry that we're in, and Britain hasn't really got a name for it as yet.
Right. So I personally resonate with beauty therapy or skin therapists the most. But yeah, so anyway, out of that, I kind of built a reputation as the meanest wax in town. That really did not excite me because I said, I mean, I love a good wax. Don't get me wrong. I just didn't want to be the one giving everybody waxes for 12 hours a day. You know, 7 days.
You did it and it's done. It's over.
Yeah. So in my website, I talk a little bit about my breaking point in that. And I decided that's it. Like, I come from a family of medical professionals. And I decided, no, Renee, you're going to pull up your socks and like, find the best postgraduate education that you can and up your game in anatomy, physiology, cosmetic chemistry, and I pursued skin correction with a vengeance. And here I am. It has been a really wild ride. Nothing is unfolding in the way that I ever envision. It's better, and I just love what I do. I literally never work a day in my life. I just get to do what I love.
Cool. So so you've got your own clinic,
so
where you work.
So I don't have an open appointment book anymore. So the long and short is basically that I've ran clinics for a long, long time, and I'm really good. My gift is seeing patterns and systems and procedures, pre-care, post-care, you know, writing out the step-by-step of how to do each treatment, client follow-up, which is really important. And also the flow of, you know, the client journey through clinics. So I ended up like consulting in that capacity a lot and helping clinics, like estheticians and dermatology clinics. So we help them increase their bottom line by 30% or more. But the key is doing that via enhanced education about the skin. I do mix like the medical with the aesthetics and like know when to cross refer essentially. And the science that I operate, so my point of view in skin is a little bit different because I follow the principles of corneotherapy, which is a methodology or approach to skin in which our ultimate goal is to keep the epidermis, the outer layer of the skin, intact at all times.
Yeah. So this is when you said, when I read on your website, corneotherapy, I was envisaging a process whereby you're sort of maintaining the epidermal barrier layer and supporting it in your skincare, I suppose. Yeah, exactly. I like the sound of that. That sounds good to me.
It is. And I've listened to a few of your episodes where you were talking about, you know, different modalities of treatment. And you actually did mention that, you know, some of them can be really risky if the skin is not in a state to actually undergo specific treatment. Yes. So, you know, so there's a number of reasons. I think that, you know, the skin is a very, very smart appendage It protects us from the outside world. If it fails, we're actually triggering the immune system. So how important is my work? Like, I just love it and I don't take it lightly. So, you know, if we have disrupted skin barriers, we're really unlocking a cascade of events that really can be very upsetting for people.
Totally. Yes. And I read a study, I think we talked about it ages ago now. I read a study about allergies, the reason why there's an increase in peanut allergies. So, you know, systemic allergies to peanuts is because there's an increase in eczema. And because the skin barrier is not performing properly, the peanut particles can get into your internal system and spark this sort of extra immune response. And that's because of the problems with the skin, because genetically there's just more eczema around. And thus there's more peanut allergies in general. So totally right. Yeah.
You know, like things like eczema, psoriasis, you know, what we call like those typical conditions that result as a barrier dysfunction or the stem from a barrier dysfunction. So, you know, right now is a great example of all the hand washing that we're doing. Yeah. How many of your friends and even your children, you know, are complaining about like, you know, dry hands, you know, having eczema when they maybe typically don't have those kind of issues.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like triggers, like a lot of triggers. And the peanut allergy, you know, we also see this and population of people who perhaps have like asthma as an underlying condition, that they're more likely or more prone for skin barrier disruption. So, you know, our ultimate goal in corneotherapy is not only to repair the skin barrier, but the membrane of every cell of the skin, which I think is so amazing, because they connect. And our corneocyte, which is the cornified keratinocyte, that's the outermost cell, you know, the keratinocyte.
So that's the dead skin cell that everyone's trying to remove when they're using glycolic and lactic acid and scrubs and whatever else they're exfoliating with.
Yeah. So imagine the corneocyte is like when it's cornified, but it's not dead because it still has the capability to communicate with other cells of the epidermis. So, you know, because a great example is like you go in the sun and you tan as your defense mechanism. Well, if you can tan, everybody will tan if you get the perfect condition to do so. Like every skin will tan no matter how fair you are. Doesn't mean that you should, but it will have given the optimal opportunity. But, you know, so that just shows you that what we think is a dead cell still has the capability to send a message to other cells like the melanocyte, which is responsible for the production of pigment, to say, hey, we need some help. You need to, you know, we need protection. So if we're sloughing that off, like, you know, or treating it like the kitchen floor, we're missing or removing some of that ability of cell-to-cell communication. And usually by the time you've exfoliated, you've also removed your acid mantle, which along with the microbiome is your first line of skin barrier defense. And now you're down two lines of skin barrier defense out of the five. So let's just think about that for a moment. Why are we like blasting?
Why would we want to do that? Yeah. Exactly. Doesn't make sense, does it? No.
Yes. So, you know, we just kind of, I think, need to be a little bit more kind and a little bit more gentle with our skin and allowing it to do what it actually is designed to do. You know, it's an amazing appendage if we just, you know, kind of give it the right building blocks to function optimally, and then it will do its job. You know, and so I think that's key. And, you know, so our approach in corneotherapy is always to make sure that we are repairing the skin barrier first and foremost, including every cell membrane. Then what that sets us up is for really great success with anything we choose to do afterwards, whether that be chasing pigment, whether that be chasing, you know, aging or whatever it might be, because the cell is able to better communicate to other cells, and our outcome is always better when we just take a moment to start by making sure that we have a fully functioning skin barrier and viable cell membranes. Then we can poke the fibroblast with a sharp stick like collagen induction therapy to make collagen and elastin and glycosaminoglycans. We can put things on the skin to regulate the production of pigment. You know, that's where magic happens. Like the money that you then spend on treatments just is so much better because your skin is capable of responding.
So when you say fibroblasts, I know what fibroblasts and glycosaminoglycans are, but we better tell people in case they don't know. Maybe they do. I don't know. So
we shall just share anyway. Some of my favorite cells is the keratinocyte, which is what you see and touch and feel. Then you have the melanocyte, and the melanocyte's job is to make pigment. And then we have like the fibroblast. The fibroblast is probably every woman's best friend.
Yeah. And they didn't even know it existed either, probably.
Exactly. We love the fibroblast because the fibroblast makes our collagen and elastin. So let's pause on collagen and elastin for a minute. So think of a fabric, and you have, you know, like the cross weaving, which is the collagen and elastin, if you will. And then, but you always have these little micro spaces between the threads, right? Between the weave. And glycosaminoglycans is what fills that space in between. I kind of, in lamest terms, say, you know, when you go to a little baby and you like squish their arm, you know, that chunky little wrist that they have, right? I know, and they have the juicy thighs that you just want to, they're squishable, the cheek just jumps right back out. That's because they have so much glycosaminoglycans, like they have like juicy skin, and it declines from day two onwards, sadly, along with the collagen and the elastin.
Day two.
I know.
But that's so depressing.
Isn't it? But when you get to our age, you can poke it with a sharp stick and tell it, make some more. The quality and quantity is questionable, but it will always try to make collagen, elastin, and GAGS is the short word for it. Do you want me to like really depress you?
I'm already really depressed. Go on.
I'll bring you back to the light. It's okay. The melanocyte, on the other hand, is not as generous as our fibroblast. And the melanocyte, do you know what? Clinically, I get more complaints about pigmentation almost than I do aging. Because he is a rebel. The downside of the melanocyte, as glorious as he is that there is no stem cell resource of the melanocyte. So what you get is what you've got. And it starts in the neurocrescent, the fetal development, right? And that's it, that's your blueprint. There is no stem cell resource. So if you damage the melanocytes prematurely, you're going to have issues. So it is a long living but slow cycling cell, unlike the keratinocyte, which like is long living, but it has like an abundant stem cell resource, right? So it renews. You're always going to have
constantly coming up. Yeah,
exactly. But Mr. Melanocyte, you kind of lose a fair amount of your melanocytes function by the time you hit 35.
Because I think like when I was young, when I was an idiot, when I was like in my teens and whatnot, I would, you know, I'd go a lovely color, like brown, my skin would be brown. But if I get a tan now, it's just blotchy. So, you know, that sort of even concentration of melanocytes is gone. And I've just got these stupid ones in my face.
And especially for people who have the redhead gene, you know, you kind of get more blotchy you know, as you go on, because creating a red pigment, because pigment is eumelanin or pheomelanin, brown pigment or red pigment, and making red pigment is a much more oxidative process for the skin than making eumelanin. So there's a lot more oxidative, it requires more energy, so the skin can age faster, the melanocyte itself can damage faster as well. So yes, we kind of end up with an uneven tan later in life. And obviously, you know, because of that high oxidative activity and creating pheomelanin, it also puts individuals with the red hair gene at a higher risk of developing skin cancer in a lifetime, actually quite significantly higher. So,
because that's what melanocytes are doing. They're protecting the skin from cancer, essentially like a natural sunblock.
The job is obviously to like absorb UV light so that it doesn't, you know, go into the deeper layers of the skin. So if it fails, then yes, then we're going to have other issues. So yes, the melanocyte is a rebel, and I love him and hate him at the same time, or her, whatever takes your fancy. He's a little bit harder to control. So, you know, So with skin, there are some things that we want to stimulate and other things we want to regulate instead. And we need to understand the cosmetic chemistry, because certain ingredients stimulate things and others regulate other things within the skin.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the melanocytes are stimulated by inflammation as well. So by removing the corneal layer and exfoliating too much, you know, you're going to be angering those cells that we're trying to calm down. So yeah, definitely a case for trying not to upset your barrier. Definitely.
100%. It's such an integrate system. And the, you know, the melanocyte, for example's communication with the keratinocyte is very intricate as well. So, you know, the response to heat, especially in like melasma, or what we call melanin stimulating cascade of pigment, is, you know, it's kind of like your melanocyte salivates when it sees the sun or feels the sun, and it just salivates pigment. So for people who have like those types of conditions, it's like, yes, you kind of want to like not be out in the peak of heat during the day, and you know, sunglasses does go a long way in that particular condition. You know, so just put it like being smart, like sun smart, skin smart is where it's at. But the good news is, and okay, I'm gonna share a secret here, and every beauty therapist and esthetician will probably hate me for saying this, so don't tell my clients.
Okay.
Yes, 70% of an end result of a healthy skin, or, you know, optimally functioning skin, really lies in what you do at home on a daily basis.
Yes.
That other 30% can be added by clinical services, etc. But I want your audience to kind of just think about this for a moment. There's no point in spending all that money on all the elaborate, crazy treatments that's out there and not doing the right thing at home on a daily basis.
No, it's not that simple. You can't. There's no quick fix, unfortunately, is there?
No, that is exactly the equivalent of like eating 10 bags of chips and going to the gym once a week. Doesn't work. So the power is in your hands. The power is in what you choose to do for your skin on a daily basis, which I think is so empowering. And then you can, then, you know, that's the baseline. Whatever you choose to do in clinic, then, which I still recommend, it's just going to be more magical.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you need your skin to be elastic and hydrated to take whatever treatment you're going to have. Definitely helps. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I wanted to know if you have any burning questions running around in your head that you're like, okay, now that I've upset you.
No, you didn't upset me at all. I completely agree. No. So I guess, you know, I find it hard when I'm trying to recommend skincare for other people. I find it quite difficult because everybody's skin is so different that you don't want to upset their apple cart, because, you know, you could get a reaction to almost anything.
Oh, yeah.
Some things, you know, you think you've got something safe and no, it does something weird to your skin. So yeah, it's I find that pretty hard, so particularly people with that eczema-y type skins. That's always difficult. Yes.
Very reaction, because eczema is, you know, like, it's not just an external response. It is also like internal response. I'll come back to gut. Remind me to come back to gut and mind and the link it has to skin. So, yeah. But yes, this is the thing. You could, in theory, respond to anything. So this is why, you know, full disclosure, I do distribute a skincare line. The brand doesn't matter. But here are the key things that I want to kind of talk about skincare in general. I love when something is compatible with skin. So I want as far as possible biocompatibility or bespoke. So any good formulation, doesn't matter what you use, in the perfect world to be like helpful for skin, it needs to contain essential fatty acids, triglycerides, and cholesterol, ideally in a 1-to-1-to-1 ratio. Or that's where you kind of want to get the balance of skin. Okay. So
yes, I've read that a moisturizer won't work. It could actually make the skin worse if it doesn't have that balance of those three ingredients. You need to make sure it's, just so.
Yes. The killer for skin, especially like more sensitive skin, is things that disrupt the skin barrier function, like emulsifiers. The skin actually has a capability to, so emulsifiers' job is to mix the water and the oil phase of a cream together. But in the skin, we do have sudiferous and sebaceous secretions. And in the skin, it mixes with it. It's the only place on planet Earth it does it on itself. Otherwise, you need an emulsifier to do it. So in the presence of certain enzymes and also ceramides in our skin, it mixes the water and oil phase of the secretions together to create the acid mantle from the secretions point of view. But in the cornification process, the keratinocyte life cycle, at the stratum granulosum layer, we do have like an odland body that is responsible for making oil in the cell, and also natural moisturizing factor, NMF.
Yeah.
That as it goes through this compaction process and the cell flattens, it kind of squeezes out and gives us a little gift at the point where it cornifies.
So and, clever, isn't it? It's it's just like it's designed so perfectly that you have moisturizer that your skin creates itself. It's quite beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. So as it squishes out our little gift of the water and the oil component, that then also works to contribute to our multilamellar structural bilayer and the acid mantle on the surface of the skin. So, however, the internal gift of that, like internal to like of the cell, is you're going to get as good as you've got. So if you don't have oil nutritionally, then you're going to have very dry skin, because there's nothing for the cell to give. It needs those nutritional building blocks present from a nutritional point of view to begin with. Yes, we can assist it topically, but you definitely want to work on getting the internal stuff to contribute to that as well. So omega supplements is a big thing. So I want all my clients to be at minimum on a really good multivitamin and omega supplements.
So would you recommend collagen supplements? Hydrolyzed collagen. Yeah,
I love collagen supplements in general. You know, it has a lot of other benefits beyond skin. And I do see, you know, I don't see like aha responses in every client, but I never see a negative response either. So I do think it's a good building block to introduce. If I have to choose between omega and collagen, I would choose omega if I'm forced to choose.
Yes. Yeah, maybe have a bit of both. Why
ideally,
not?
Ideally, of course. So, so that's amazing. And then, you know, so the gut health is really there's a direct correlation between gut health and skin health. We see that with conditions like rosacea, acne, things like that. I also just want to mention, like, especially in these crazy times, the mind or mental health also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stress.
Yes, if you're stressed, it changes hormonal levels. And I can see, like, especially with conditions like rosacea and certain types of acne, we definitely see that's where I really go into, I call it like, we're going to have the woo conversation here. Because like I literally said to them, you need to, you know, like learn how to relax and, you know, take a breath, essentially.
Yeah.
Because that will cause mayhem in your skin and in some conditions can really create a little bit of a vicious cycle, fuel the storm, so to say, or fuel the fire.
Acne and rosacea are pretty stressful. So it's not, you know, there's no escape from the stress. And it's really tough.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, we're trying to keep the hormones intact. So let's not stress because we don't want to like spike endorphins and adrenaline and testosterone, because then we're going to have to go and, you know, block enzymes to stop the testosterone from turning into dihydrotestosterone that triggers more acne, you know. Oh my gosh.
Spironolactone, I'm thinking.
Yes. And just, you know, take the walk. Take the time out, you know, journal, whatever you need to do to get and like, you know, detach from the craziness surrounding you, and what stresses you, like turn off the news, you know. And I see a lot of it right now in our crazy world, because some people are very concerned, obviously. So, you know, and we're getting frustrated, like, gee, you know, it's like what the hell am I going to do if my kids, like, I'm out of ideas and they're driving me crazy.
It's so many things that you could be stressing about at the moment. It's just
don't so ask me mad. To homeschool my children. That's not happening. I'm terrible at it.
It's so hard, isn't it?
I'm a great teacher, but only when it comes to skin.
It's your own children. It's just something else. They push buttons you didn't know you had.
And yes, I have two, and I have to say the one is very much a mirror image of me and knows exactly how to push my buttons. And I'm like, it's good that they're so cute, because I think it's like a natural protection.
You can see why that happens. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, like literally my husband and I divide and conquer. I look at him and I go, your child, your turn.
This one's yours. Yeah. Oh, dear me. Yeah. And masks as well. Have you noticed that masks have been causing a bit more skin issues?
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal, right?
It's bad, isn't it?
Yes, well, because, you know, it's a perfect breeding ground for bacteria when you have heat, dark, and moisture all in the same place. And paired with the stress, so I'm seeing an awful lot of perioral dermatitis.
Yes, I got some myself. I've done everything. I can't get rid of it. It's really irritating. Yeah.
So my go-to for that, like kiwi seed oil, we have a very pure kiwi seed oil. Okay. Magical. Yes, because it's like an omega, like it's very high in omega content. It's antimicrobial. It is really great for perioral dermatitis in general. But since this craziness, like that's like a lot, used an awful lot. And there's another ingredient to look for, and that's great for skin barrier repair, is EGCG. So if you just type that in,
growth factor.
No, it's a epigalactic.
Oh yeah, green tea. Yeah, of course,
it's a green. Yeah, it's a green tea extract, but without the caffeine. So that is really great for skin barrier repair, and also very calming on the skin. So that's been really great for us here. And like, we're super dry, and majority of Canada is very ambient, low humidity. So so like having extra lipid content is really good, really, really good. And then purifying masks, like, or like, you know, like clay masks is really good, like to purify, but you need to not compromise the moisture. So if it's a drying mask, it's not good.
I quite often find that clay masks are a bit, you feel a bit sort of tight afterwards. That's not ideal.
Yeah, so sheet masks are really good, and you can, you know, put like concentrates or serums underneath to customize it. So, because what I use, like, we can completely customize everything, facials, creams. Like, I literally whip you up a magic potion just for Nia.
Oh, cool.
And yes, so we choose, we have like 40 what we call active agent concentrates. So you can choose like vitamin B, vitamin A, vitamin C, whatever we want to do to mix into a cream for our clients. It makes it so we can segue it, and I can make little gels for people to put underneath their masks.
Oh, gosh, that's amazing.
Yes, right. So especially on nurses at the moment, and we can even make like a custom toner to help as well, that they can just spritz it on at their lunch break to kind of help with that. And it's been really good that we are able to do that. But yeah, it's creating a little bit of skin issues, and you know, well, we all know. So yes, and other than that, you know, I think like understanding what ingredients helps with what. I think being very selectively targeted in your ingredients to choose what outcome you actually want for your skin is really important. You can be very targeted and, you know, like do one thing. It doesn't mean that you're going to do nothing else, but I say start skin barrier repair, then pick the next battle, kind of like you have to do with your children. Pick the next fight and then maintain that while moving on to the next one first. Yes, don't try to do everything at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, because I don't know if you use The Ordinary ever. Have you heard of The Ordinary?
I've heard of it, but go again, because I had to like look it up. I haven't seen it.
It's
in
a Canadian brand, actually. They're from this. It started in Toronto, but they their philosophy. They basically make lots of serums with based on one ingredient. So you've got like a retinol 0.2% in oil. And, you know, it's quite simple recipes, simple ingredients, no fragrance at all. So it's quite sort of an easy, well, not easy, it's quite complicated to use, but it's quite a simple idea.
I say to my clinics, it's like, it's complicated for us. It's easy for your client, for the end consumer. And that's what you want. Because if it's too complicated, nobody does it. So it sounds very similar to what I distribute as well, because we also have like usually like one hero ingredient in our serum, but we encapsulate it in like liposomes and nanoparticles. So it doesn't matter what you use, but you really got to be thinking about the delivery system in skincare, because that really equates an efficiency or effectiveness. So we have things like vitamin A, nanoparticles, vitamin C, vitamin B, Boswellia, you know, things like that, kiwi seed oil. The EGCG is separate but encapsulated in a liposome. And a liposome, should I explain what a liposome is?
Yeah, sure, yep.
Okay, so liposomes and nanoparticles is very clever science, very clever technology, because what it is imagine an oil bubble. Now, they're not all created equal, because sometimes some cosmetic companies will use synthetic. You really kind of want to know what the liposome is made up of, because if it's synthetic, it will end up as cellular debris in your skin, which we don't want. Okay. So you want a bio-identical liposome. In our case, we use phosphatidylcholine, or lecithin is what you will see in the ingredient index.
I've seen that word. Yeah.
Yes.
So how would you know if it was lecithin based? I guess you'd rely on the brand to tell you, I suppose.
Yes, and if it says if it's a serum and it, like lecithin is like will be right on your ingredient deck.
Yeah, so keep really your eye peeled for that.
Look at the ingredients. Yes, read the labels. So the difference between a liposome and a nanoparticle. So first of all, it's like imagine an oil bubble, okay? And in the oil bubble, we put the active ingredient like vitamin A or vitamin C. The one is designed to carry lipid-loving ingredients and the other one to carry water-loving ingredients. It's kind of like to, in layman's terms, trick the skin so that it will accept what you are delivering into the deeper layers of the skin. Okay.
Yes. And so the oil travels better into the deeper layers.
Yeah, but when it's encapsulated, it depends on where you want to target it and whether the ingredient inside is water loving or oil loving. So you kind of want the skin. Skin is oil loving. Like skin is a healthy balance of water and oil. And oil floats on water. So if you have to choose, like we always chase oil first and make our clients drink the water, because then the oil will help keep the water into the layers of the skin. Okay. So liposome is a bilayer or that holds the ingredient inside, and a nanoparticle is a monolayer. So that's like the key difference. But they will kind of travel through the bilayer. The bubble will burst essentially and deliver the ingredients into the deeper layers of the skin. But this is where the magic then happens. You get a little return benefit, because if the liposome or nanoparticle is made up of a physiological component like phosphatidylcholine, then that will fuse with the oil layer of the skin and ultimately contribute to forming your acid mantle instead of being cellular debris. So what you've just done is you've kind of created a vesicle for the ingredients to be absorbed into the deeper layers of the skin. The oil bubble essentially also keeps the ingredient, the active, pure. So you can use lower potency and have the same effect than products that are not encapsulated in a higher potency. So
I get you.
Yeah.
So it'd be good for something like vitamin C, which is quite unstable.
Exactly.
And we don't really want it sitting around on the top layer of your skin because it oxidizes and goes a bit horrible.
Exactly. And that's like that zippy feeling. So, you know, so the one that I use, like we never have that zippy irritation feeling on the surface of the skin because it's encapsulated. And vitamin A, again, you can actually use lower concentration and have the same effect because you can actually deliver it deeper easily without that irritation. I mean, you can still get a retinoid reaction, don't get me wrong. I've done that to my clients, kind of goes, whoops, that was a bit frisky, which I get all excited about, but they don't appreciate.
No. Well, you know, it's working though, isn't it? It's that like the cells are doing something that's cool. It's exciting.
Yes, but it's so funny because my clients are like, they literally like start to think I'm crazy because I'm like, that's amazing. Let's get you in the machine to photograph this. And they're like, you are insane. I don't want a photo like this. I'm like, yes, you do.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, this is amazing. And they're like, oh. I said, don't worry. You'll love me in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, it's going to turn out well.
Yes, obviously I really need to build trust before I throw that type of stuff at their skin. So
you've got to be expecting that kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. And then what else did I want to share with you? I think really making sure that you're keeping the skin barrier in mind all the time is super important. So in Canada, we have extreme temperatures, except it's a very mild winter this year because it's a weird year. But normally, like very extreme temperature, so skin, the barrier can really deteriorate easier, you know, with seasonal change, especially like going into winter. So when you're having something that's a bit customizable, then it allows you to also bring in more lipids in the winter time and more antioxidants, for example, in summertime. So don't be afraid to like to make sure that your skincare is not just current for what you are trying to treat in terms of your skin condition or the outcome be seasonal. That you want,
yeah,
should be seasonally adjusted as well.
Sure. Yeah. And do you recommend sunscreens, obviously?
Surely, yes. Probably. Yes, yeah. Especially for you guys in the UK.
Yeah.
Lots of red hair gene going on there and in Scotland, probably even more in Scotland than Ireland. And yes. Definitely sunscreen. If you have a more delicate skin or a more reactive skin, I really, really love a dry sunscreen.
Okay.
Yes. You're welcome. So go look it up. You want a dry sunscreen, like a mineral-based sunscreen. And what I love about that is it allows the sunscreen to sit on the surface of the skin and doesn't really affect what's going on underneath in the deeper layers with the corrective treatment program that you're on. So I love traditional sunscreen as well. So for my children, for example, and myself, we would put like sunscreen on in the morning, you know, as they head out to school, but they each have a dry sunscreen in their backpacks. So that's kind of fun because it's like with a brush that they can reapply. And because it's a physical shield, it's cool because it's effective straight away. And with sunscreen, you got to remember that you got to put it on 20 minutes before, before it is actually protecting you. And the other thing that people misunderstand about sunscreen is reapplication is really important. So, it's kind of like your toast, right? If you put your toast in the toaster and it pops back up and you're like, this is just not quite where I wanted it to be. But when you dunk it that second time, you're like guarding the toaster because you know it's going to burn.
Yeah.
Right. So skin is the same. That second, once you've kind of applied the sunscreen first, you're increasing your minimal erythema dose. So your next application, you're going to burn faster. So let's say you put an SPF 30 on first, which let's pretend that you burn in 1 minute. So if you put on SPF 30 now, you're going to start to burn at 30 minutes. Okay. If you reapply your sunscreen, you actually don't get another 30 minutes. You don't get the same protection because the heat in your skin is higher. So you can burn faster like your piece of toast for breakfast. So just be wary of that your reapplication doesn't constitute quite the same protection, even if you use the same SPF.
Yeah. And I guess most people aren't putting on as much the second time either. I probably don't myself.
If at all.
Yeah.
And it's another reason why I love like the dry sunscreen. It's easier for reapplication, especially if you're wearing makeup and things like that.
Yeah, that's a really tricky issue.
I'm not going to
reapply when you've got a beautiful full face of makeup on. It's not easy.
Exactly. So the dry sunscreen kind of at least makes that a little bit easier. But your sun protection also has to match your activity. So are you running in and out of the office? Is it winter and you're just kind of like out and about? Is it winter and you're out on the slopes? Is it summer and you're at the beach? Your SPF has to match your activity. So I have a collection 15, 30, 50. And I think you in the UK, are you allowed to label beyond 30? Like I know Australia, New Zealand.
Yeah, we've got 50.
Yeah. So in Australia, New Zealand, you can't label anything higher than 30. It's 30 plus. That's it. Because the difference between 30 and 50 really is just 1% extra protection, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I going to say? I was going to say something then. It's gone, as usual. Have you heard about the recent controversy about the Asian sunscreens that they found that they weren't factor 50 after all? They did some independent testing and they were only factor 19.
Oh,
so labeled 50, but they weren't. Yeah.
This is why your reapplication is so important and like mislabeling. Yeah. I think you guys are a little bit more like us. Like Canada has very strict guidelines, especially with sunscreen. I remember just when we got our sunscreen and they changed the rules about it and we had to cease and desist and like completely redo our labeling to be to meet the criteria. So we have very strict sun protection guidelines. But yeah, if you're picking up something in a country that perhaps doesn't have those governing guidelines so tight, you need to do your research.
Yeah, Yeah. And, you know, the formulas felt really, really nice, sort of much, much easier to wear than the European ones. And, you know, that's obviously why, is because they just weren't using the same amount of the active ingredient.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, such a shame.
But that's really, you know, what frustrates me about that is like it's putting people who might use it at risk for developing skin cancer when they think they have a level of protection that they don't have. That's so bad. This is dangerous. What gives the industry a bad name sometimes. It drives me crazy.
So, you know, then how do we trust a sunscreen now? Because they lied.
That's exactly it. And this is why I always go back to, like, you know, you need to educate yourself about ingredients and, you know, the fluff that's out there. I think this is a very confusing industry, you know, to everybody. So you need to, unfortunately, you know, really do your own due diligence and understand, kind of like we have to do a food these days. You have to understand how to read a label.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We talk to people like us who know a lot.
Exactly. Yes. If you don't listen to us, listen to this podcast. Subscribe today. Exactly. Because it's good research. You know, I mean, yes, I mean, I'm a skin nerd, so I love doing the research, but not everybody wants to spend hours and hours reading through white papers. But we're happy boring. To. So.
Yeah. Let people us just want to be told. What do you think about the clean beauty, the clean skincare? Everyone's it's all of the skincare brands at the moment are coming out, and it's with their motto is "We're clean, clean skincare, chemical free."
Everything is chemical, aren't we? Okay.
So. You know, sort of meaningless jargon, really. But.
It is. So you have to understand like what the rules and regulations are about that. Just because something is organic or something is natural doesn't mean it's good for you. So my husband, he's a vineyard. He owns a company that does vineyard management, right? So,
wow, cool.
I know. He grows our wine. It's very important. So he will say to you, because there's obviously this, I was going to say fad, but I think it's here to stay. But let's go like this movement to organic, to organic, which is fine, except that he will tell you that the like what you can use to control the pests is essentially copper. So in an organic vineyard, you use a lot of copper. So, you know. So he's kind of saying like the amount of you know of, so he does like what they call sustainable vineyard management, which is what his preference is, but you know if there is really damage to the crops and so forth, he has to intervene, but you're limited in what you can choose in an organic pathway. And I'm not saying organic is right or wrong, you just to illustrate the point here is that a organic vineyard sprays a vast amount more copper on the crops because that's a key thing for pesticide or for pest control. So you know, so then I'm kind of thinking like enough copper is also not really good. Like that's not something I want in my
water. You can't just pour things willy-nilly into an ecosystem.
Exactly. That's not right. And that's like, we don't want copper and lead and things like that, even though they're natural components, you know, they're from the earth. We don't necessarily want that in our water and things like that. So, you know, just because something is natural or organic, you still kind of, you know, organic and natural can still be toxic. So, you know, you kind of got to understand like how it's used and the quantities that it's used in and so forth. So just because it's clean doesn't necessarily mean that it is good for you, for depending on the purpose that you're using it for, like, you know. So just an interesting illustration.
I get you,
What I do love, however, is things that matches what naturally do belong in the skin. So that's biomimicking or bespoke or bioidentical. Because you just have a natural affinity with that and your skin will receive it better. So I love bespoke skincare for sure. So ingredients like phosphatidylcholine, ceramide, squalene, stuff like that.
Yes, one of my favorites.
right? Things that doesn't alter the natural mechanism of the skin.
Yeah, yeah. So you're just respecting your skin and researching but what your skin already needs and wants and giving it what it wants.
Yeah.
For best so results. Like a, yeah.
So like emulsifiers to me is like, that's like a category of no-no in my world, because like ceramide and phosphatidylcholine actually are naturally emulsifying ingredients. So, but they cost more than, let's call it, for lack of a better description, a synthetic emulsifier. But the emulsifiers have a buildup effect on the skin. So I'd much rather pay a little bit more and have something that has that natural affinity with the skin, like ceramides and phosphatidylcholine, and not have nasties in my skincare line.
And how do you feel about fragrance?
Fragrance is the number one sensitizer
yay.
To skin. Yes, it actually is trumping, you know, like kind of at a point in time they said like preservatives is the number one sensitizer, but
yeah,
you know, fragrance can wreak havoc.
It's so
skin.
Bad. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you said that because that's what I think.
So do you want me to give you the perfect world list?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. There's six key things. There's actually seven, but let's stick with six for the purposes of this discussion. So everybody grab your pen and paper and write this down. And now I'll get off my pedestal and give you the list. Okay. So no preservatives, no emulsifiers.
Yeah.
No fragrance. No colorants.
Mm-hmm.
No silicones and no mineral oils.
Cool. Okay. I don't mind mineral oils sometimes. Because they don't react. You know, they just sit on top. I like that. Just holding the water in a little bit.
Right. So because it sits on top, it doesn't physiologically adjust the skin. And the challenge of a mineral oil is that used long term, it can actually be dehydrating to the skin. So why would you not have something that will do the same thing, or like holding the moisture in the skin? Like any of good quality oils will do that for you. So like, you know, Olea Europaea fruit oil or Persia gratissima oil or... you know, your phosphatidylcholine is really nice and rich in lipids as well. You know, your parky butter, for example. So I'd much rather have those that has an additional benefit of having a barrier,
a
biocompatibility. Yeah, because mineral oils can be a little bit, it's not as breathable. So it's a little bit like putting Saran Wrap on your face.
Yeah, yeah, it literally is. Yeah, like sellotape. Covering it. Yeah. I mean, I do get quite a lot of clogged pores, and I think that plant oils can be a trigger. So I don't want to use them pure anyway. You know, I wouldn't want to put a whole layer of plant oil on my spotty, pory face.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. So have it in a cream base that has, you know, that it's not so heavy and that the absorbability of it is improved, perhaps of something like a phosphatidylcholine that's a great carrier. It will be on the ingredient deck as lecithin, by the way. So phosphatidylcholine is very rarely listed.
That's a really good one.
Yes, cool. love it. So yes, we can just make, you know, a slightly better choices in ingredients and choosing something that is, you know, matches skin function goes a long way. It stretches your dollar.
Yeah, it sounds all really nice, and I'm going to definitely start looking for lecithin in my ingredients now. I don't think I was aware of that and what it was. I've seen it, but I didn't know specifically what it did, and that's really cool.
A little magic, like love it. And the skincare line that I use is has it in almost every product.
Cool.
Yes.
Would you like what skincare line is it?
So I distribute Dermaviduals throughout Canada.
Dermaviduals. Okay. Cool.
It's been around in the UK forever. It's a German skincare line. Yes.
Ah, I haven't heard of it. How interesting.
Yes, we're kind of under because we don't believe in like advertising, like advertising hype and stuff. We're like, use the right thing that gets the right results. So we're not into like all the glossy magazines and stuff like that. Super efficient though, and has been around for over 20 years. So it's really good. Yes. Yes. And I know some people in the UK. So if you're listeners, so it's like, you know, want to know more. I know everybody that works with corneotherapy in general around the globe, because I serve on an educational on the board of education for the International Association of Applied Corneotherapy. So I know a lot of corneotherapists in Australia, New Zealand, the UK, around the globe.
If somebody wants to get in touch with them. Yeah. So would they find you at your site, or do you have an Instagram?
Yeah, either reneserbon.com, always easy to find me there. But yes, I admittedly like my social media, and reneserbon on Instagram is, feel free to message me if there's anything I can help with. I do have a little gift for your audience if they want. Okay, so I have a very cool skin quiz that is going to tell you, because I believe there's like three skin types. You're either oily, you're dry, or you are born with rosy cheeks and will die with rosy cheeks, or have an ability to tan, which will make you a diffused redness skin type. So there's no such thing as sensitive. If you're sensitive, something's gone wrong. That's, you're not born with sensitive skin. So in the quiz, it asks you a few basic questions, and then it will tell you which skin type you are. And if you want to, I can send you the elaborated list of all the do's and don'ts, non-product aligned, like for your skin type, these are the things to do, and these are the things to, more importantly, to avoid. So if anybody is interested in doing the quiz, just send me a message on Insta, and I'm happy to send you the link to the quiz to take it.
Cool.
Super easy.
Well, we have the Skincare with Friends Facebook group, and we can pop everything, join the group and, you know, come along and talk to the members. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, so I'll make sure that you have that link to invite people to, and it's super, it's on my Facebook page as well, but I'll make sure you have it so that your audience can just go and take it. It's a very fun quiz.
Cool. Well, I've learned plenty of things today. That was really interesting. What are you up to now? Are you going to have a nice afternoon in a vineyard?
It's kind of a little bit cold for that today. We are expecting some snow. So actually,
lovely.
I'm about to go and write a training curriculum on collagen induction therapy for a medical association here that I'm doing a training curriculum for. But this has been so much fun. I so appreciate you having me on and chatting.
Thank you for coming. It's been lovely. Lovely talking to you. And enjoy your training.
Will do. Thank you for having me again. And yes, as I say, if there's any questions, just reach out. Happy to answer.
Lovely. Oh, thank you so much, Renee. That's brilliant.
Okay. Bye, Nia.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Do-de-do-do-do. This is the end of the podcast. Come to our Facebook group, Skincare with Friends, and we'll talk to you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.